Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. This is a passage of scripture that I'm sure in your lives, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, that you either heard sermons preached on it or you've been in Bible studies where they've covered it. And generally, this first part is the part that's just an introduction, and they'll often spend all their time talking about, you know, taking on the helmet and the shield and the feet fitted and all this. They're going to jump into those things. And I don't want to go there. You can think about those things and remember other things you've learned later. I want to look at the first part of this. It begins, he says, be strong in the Lord and be strong in his mighty power. To be strong in the Lord and to be strong in his mighty power really is sanctified living. It's not like the Lord is far away from us, and we can know about him by reading the Bible or reading books about him. We can have a relationship with him, and we can walk with him in a wondrous way. I mean, it is possible to have wonderful fellowship with God. And he's made the way so that it is possible for us to experience this. And I will tell you that if you will be walking, if you will live a sanctified life, you will feel the presence of God, you'll feel his Holy Spirit in your life, and you will feel like you are just a fountain overflowing. And that's what he wants of us. He doesn't want us to have one of these faiths where, you know, well, we call ourselves Christian and it just means that it's just kind of some belief system that we say we adhere to because out of all of them, it sounds like a good one. Or that's the one our family adheres to. I remember I was at a Boy Scout conference one time and subject of Christianity came up. And I remember there was somebody sitting next to me who says, to be American is to be Christian because we're a Christian nation. And I couldn't help myself. And I said, so what does it mean to be a Christian? Oh, it means to be a good citizen. It means to be American. And I was thinking to myself, what about knowing that your sins are forgiven? What about walking with the Lord? What about having his presence in your life? What about being a part of the things that he is doing in this world? I mean, there's so many more things I'd want to add to the whole thing. And I think that that particular man didn't understand that. I tried talking to him about it. I think he thought that that was religious fanaticism. And I think he thought that I was the one that was all wet. Well, I will tell you that being strong in the Lord is something that is available for us. A lady named Phoebe Palmer, about 150 years ago, was a lady who had a Bible study going on in her living room. And a number of people received great help from what happened in that Bible study. And from that, the Bible study grew to the point that her husband put an addition on the house so he could make the living room bigger. And a lot of people started traveling so that they could be to her Tuesday Bible study at her house. Very significant people. I mean, one of them was the head of the Department of Philosophy at Bowdoin College in Maine. He'd gone on a train, travel all the way to New York City to be there on Tuesday morning for her Bible study, get on the train, head all the way back home. And it's not just because he thought that he was going to hear an unusual speaker. He recognized that there was something unique in what this lady was teaching. Her and her husband ended up traveling and doing a lot of preaching around the country. And revivals happened in areas because there was a lot of people who knew the teachings of Christianity. But the whole notion of giving yourself to God fully and walking with Him was something that they had not gotten before. And there was something about how Phoebe was presenting it to them that they got. So I'd like to read this. This is out of her book. The name of the book is called Present to My Christian Friend on Entire Devotion to God. And it's a little section. It's called What is Gospel Holiness or Sanctification? Let me read to you. Gospel holiness is that state of soul which is attained by the believer when, through faith in the infinite merit of the Savior, body and soul, with every redeemed faculty, are ceaselessly presented a living sacrifice to God. So it's a way of living where you, in your heart of hearts, have made your mind up that I'm gonna be a living sacrifice. I belong to the Lord. I am offered myself to Him. And He doesn't say it's just like a one-time thing. It's like ceaselessly presented. That becomes a way of life. You live your life presented to God as a living sacrifice. The purpose of the soul being steadily bent to know nothing among men save Christ and Him crucified, the eye of faith fixed on the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. In obedience to the requirement of God, the sacrifice is presented, and the soul at once proves that He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. And I want to tell you that that life where we are ceaselessly presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice transforms us. It transforms your thinking. It transforms your heart. It transforms the way you look at people. Let me continue. Holiness is an entire salvation from sin, a redemption from all iniquity. That soul, through faith, being laid upon the altar that sanctifieth the gift, experiences continually that all-cleansing efficacy of the blood of Christ. And through this, it knows that blessedness of being presented faultless before the throne and mingles its triumphant ecstasies in the blood-washed company unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God forever and ever. Let me finish it up. Though saved to the uttermost in effect, yet the soul that has been brought into this experience of this state knows well that it is not to the uttermost in degree. It finds that in entire surrender of the world, it has but laid aside every weight, and now with undeviating purpose and unshackled feet, it runs with increasing rapidity and delight in the way of His commands, giving new ascensions of wisdom, power, love, with every other grace daily. Wow. She sure knows how to put things. I tell you, there's something that comes with that type of life where you say, on the altar, I lay myself. On the altar, I lay my past and regrets and successes, all of me. On the altar, I lay my hopes, my future, every part of me. And I will live my life like that. And a type of giving of yourself and really falling in love with the Lord is just this transforming thing that causes something to happen within us where we just feel more alive than ever before and closer to God than ever before, and more useful to Him than ever before. I love the way that Phoebe puts it here. And it says it runs with increasing rapidity. In other words, you're running faster and faster in delight in a way, in the way of his commandments, creating new ascensions of wisdom, power, love with every other grace daily. It's one of these things that just goes on where you think you feel in love with the Lord Jesus Christ now. Oh, let me tell you what, this sanctified living, you're going to find that you're going to feel even more in love with him tomorrow. And you're going to find that you're going to be overflowing with his spirit, and you are going to see him at work around you. I mean, that's sanctified living. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's sanctified living. If you're walking and living a sanctified life, you are going to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now hold on to your seats, because the next part's coming up. It's calling on us not just now that you're living a sanctified life. It does not mean that that's going to be the end of difficulties. Oh no. It doesn't work like that. You're going to get hit. But you're going to be hit, but you are in a position of power now where you being hit isn't going to take you out. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Please excuse my typo. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I'll tell you what. The devil is real. I'm convinced that there's some people that the devil doesn't even have to worry about, because they are so out to lunch, not even trying to live for God, that he can just leave them to their stuff. But I'll tell you what, anybody who wants to make a difference and bring good into this world and bring light into this world and help people, you just got better be ready, because the devil wants nothing more than to take you out. He wants you discouraged, defeated, distracted, so you quit. That's the truth. And we need to understand that the devil's been around for a long time. Imagine you sat down, like, I'm not a very good chess player, but imagine if I sat down, maybe I practiced and I thought I was pretty good, and I sat down and I said, I'm going to play Ryan a game of chess. You know, I don't know how good Ryan is at chess, but now imagine if there was this guy who has been a chess master for 100 years, and he's sharp as a tack. Oh, I might sit down and go, oh, he's an old geezer, he doesn't know anything. And I may get a couple moves in, and I feel like I'm doing great, only to realize that I have been trapped, and I have been trapped big time. The devil is a whole lot older than 100 years old, and he has dealt with a lot of people down throughout the years. And don't you think that he knows when he looks at some people? He can look, and he can see from the outside, and he knows how significant some people's lives can be going on into the future. I mean, I picked on Ryan. Let me pick on Ryan again. Ryan, how old are you? 17. You have only begun to live. You got so much life ahead of you. You can't even imagine all the different things that are going to happen. Can't even imagine. But I will tell you, one thing I know about you, and that's the reason the other kids elected you as the NYI president. They didn't elect you because you're smarter than everybody else or more charming than anybody else, although you are a better dancer than anybody else. They elected you because they recognize that in you, you're walking with God, you're doing it for real. Now, I'll tell you what, at 17, you can't even imagine all the good that can be accomplished in your life as you walk with God down throughout the years. It's amazing all the good that can be accomplished in your life. Don't you think the devil knows that? He wants to hit you with some temptation so that you're so embarrassed. Or he wants somebody in the church to say something that hurts your feelings so you stop coming. He wants to take you out. Because he doesn't want all that good accomplished. Next week we're going to celebrate Miss Louise's birthday here at church. It's going to be great. She's going to have a bunch of family members in. And it's hard to believe that Miss Louise is going to be 80. I mean, it's amazing. I pray that when I'm 80, I'm sharp like you. And we'll leave that alone. But I'm just telling you guys a little surprise. Next Sunday, she's going to have lots of family member here. And her grandson, Chris, is going to be preaching. And this week as I was walking, we were talking about things. And he was telling me, he was saying that there's times when he's like reading the word and he feels so burdened that he feels like God is showing him things that he just feels like he's going to bust because he wants to share things that the Lord is showing him in the scriptures. And I'm like, Chris, you know what you're talking. You know what you're saying to me. This sounds like a call to preach. And there was a little bit of silence as we kept walking there. And it's hard to tell where that's going to come out. But what do you think? How old are you right now? 27. Let's take the he makes it to 80. That is a whole lot of years. And if he's got a passion for God, just imagine all the good that can be done. I mean, through his influence in his life, his friend Anthony, who's in California right now, he got led to the Lord. In Anthony's words, Anthony said, it's through you, Chris, that I'm saved. But let's think how many years we got until he hits 80. And think, now, Satan's a lot older than us. Don't you think he wants to take him out? Think of what the scriptures say is here. It says, so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, and a scheme is a plan. And if it's the devil's scheme, it is a well-worked-out plan to take you out. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, because it's going to come. It is going to come. You will do your best, and there'll probably be somebody who will come up to you and say, the only reason you're doing this is for money or for ego or for whatever. They'll say it in such a way that it will hurt, and you'll be tempted to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Start at the beginning, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord. We are strong in the Lord so that we can enjoy Him, so that we can walk with Him, and we can just know the wonder of having Him in our hearts and lives. And so when we get hit by the devil's schemes, we're not at a position of weakness. He's hitting us at a position of strength. David Lambert will always be a part of us. He's got a swim meet coming up in a week. What's it called, Jenny? What's the race? U.S. Nationals? Yeah. And David is now, he's got someone sponsoring him. He's swimming as a professional swimmer. I mean, very significant. And I will tell you that when you are at that, where the level he's at, you know, they're just hundreds of a second. I mean, who knows what can happen? Well, I'll tell you what. David is not laying on the couch watching TV eating Cheetos. Well, he does probably a little bit. But David has a coach, and he is training, and he is preparing himself, because on the day when he stands up on that platform to take off for that race, he's ready to race. He's ready to give his best. He has practiced. He is prepared. He has been careful about his nutrition on that day that he goes in. When they do their racing, one of the things they do is it's called tapering. And starting a couple of weeks before the race, they will cut down on the amount of training they do to almost nothing. And there's something that happens particularly in a man's body. That, let's just take that the fastest you can go is this one certain speed. Well, if you will taper heading into a race, that one race, there's a good chance that you are going to swim just a little bit faster than you've ever swam before. So everybody's going to be tapered. Another thing they do is they all shave for race time. They shave their arms, they shave their legs, they shave their mustaches and beards. Some of the guys even completely shave their head. And I'm like, why do you do that? And he goes, it gives you just a little edge in the water. And sometimes it's just that little thing. I'll tell you what, David will have planned his sleeping. David will have planned his eating. David will be tapered. David will be shaved. He has his sponsor. He's got this swimsuit that's like a $300 swimsuit. And the swimsuit is only good for like 15 races. Everything's ready to go. He will be prepared for that race. In us, we need to be strong in the Lord because we need to be prepared. We're going to get hit. The Lord knows it, but his power within us will help us that when we get hit, we're not going to be taken out. We're going to stand. The dust will settle, and there we will be. We'll be standing. And you know, sometimes when we get hit, it hurts our feelings. And what do? We go to our knees in prayer. What do? We have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ who are strong and wise. What do? We worship God. What do? We wait on Him. And what do we find? That we wait on Him, and He renews our strength. So you let a little bit of time go by. You do these various things. And you know what? You're back. But be prepared. You're going to get hit again. But again, you're going to be being hit from a when you are in a position of strength. So therefore, put on the full armor of God. God doesn't want Christians living these defeated, half-committed, not really filling their mind and heart with God's word, not really having a recent close walk with God. He doesn't want us living like that because they're the ones that get taken out. Got a couple scriptures for you just put on there to look at. Down the bottom, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Sounds like old Phoebe Palmer. But actually, she's quoting from Romans. Holy and pleasing to God. It says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'll tell you what will transform your mind. If in your mind you just say, I am offering myself to God, and you live your life, I am offering myself. I belong to you. Offering myself to you. I tell you what, it gets deep, deep within you. You know, I hear these stories every now and then of somebody who's had an organ transplant. And, you know, you may have a person who's never didn't like to eat some certain type of food. and all of a sudden they get an organ transplant, and now they're craving this type of food they've never had before. And you'll find out, oh, guess what? That person that you got the liver for, they just loved eating this food. I heard a story recently about a lady who received an organ transplant from a young lady who was Olympic swimming hopeful, who died in an accident. Well, the lady who received the organ was not a swimmer. And when they're getting ready to release her from the hospital, she goes, I want to swim. She goes, I want to go to the pool. I want to get in the water. And family members are like, what? You're not a pool type of person. And she ended up, you know, swimming became a part of her life. Why? I guess, I don't know how to explain it, but there's something about those organs, you know, and that kind of affected them. I want to be so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that you could take a person, and if they end up getting a part of me, I want to be so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that it just reverberates in every cell of my body. So if somebody ends up getting one of my organs, all of a sudden they want to start going to church. And they want to start serving the Lord, and they want to start praying and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's a wondrous thing. Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. One of the things that happens when we get saved is we get adopted into the Lord's family. And most people read those scriptures and they're just like, yeah, well, that's a nice thing. Well, it's one of these scriptures that really sticks out for me because I was adopted. There was 3 weeks of my life, a little more, when I didn't even have a name. I was literally baby boy. That was my name, a baby boy. And I was a ward of the state. And at the time when my mom adopted me, there was a lady who was watching these newborns. You know, had a room with cribs in it. And it's not like, hey, there's a little buddy or a little whatever. I didn't even have a name. Now I got adopted. And I saw the paperwork that my mom and dad had where they adopted me because they signed the paperwork so that in every way I became theirs, just as if I had been born of their own blood. I got their name. I became now part of the family line. Their parents became my grandparents. In the case that anything would happen to my mom and dad, I would be an inheritor of their estate because I was adopted. And we belong to the Lord. He's laid claim to us. We belong to Him. Last one here, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. You are a chosen people. And that's sweet words to hear. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mercy. So let's kind of wrap it up with this. We need to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We need to make it a lifestyle of walking closer to Him than ever before. And He is more important than anything else. And when you build your life, when He's the priority, and you let everything else grow out of that, now your life's going to be in balance. You know, like young people, if you're single and you want to get married or something, you want to start by building your life on Him and then put all the other pieces in after it. He comes first. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for the wonderful life that You have for us. And I pray, Lord, that for every single one of us in this church, that we would be living a sanctified life so that we could know the joy of feeling Your presence so close in everything we do. Not just on Sunday, but every day. From the moment we wake in the morning to when we lay our head down on the pillow. A wondrous adventure of really walking with You. Bless us and lead us all into this. And we pray this in Jesus' name.